Got a book in my hand called The Untold Story of How I Destroyed Swiss Bank Secrecy. It's called Lucifer's Banker. It's written by Bradley C. Birkenfeld. And on the inside flap, it gives the brief description. It says, Bradley Birkenfeld had it all as a Swiss private banker working for the largest bank in the world, UBS, where the ultra-wealthy stash their millions from the eyes of tax authorities in a secret, complex web of numbered accounts and offshore companies. When he discovered that UBS was planning to blame him for their clients' indiscretions, Birkenfeld blew the whistle to the U.S. government. And Bradley joins us this morning. Good morning, Bradley.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, keeping up the fight and exposing waste, fraud, and corruption, not only at UBS, but within the Department of Justice.
Now, you have, you know, they kind of tag you as a whistleblower, but scapegoat seems to be also a phrase that could describe part of what happened. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But take us back to this time. We're talking about, what, early 90s? When were you involved with UBS at that time?
Well, I was recruited to UBS from Barclays Bank in Geneva, Switzerland, back in 2001. And I worked at UBS for about 4 years out of Geneva, Switzerland, marketing to the United States of America.
And when did you realize what was going on, or did you know this and as you went into this, that what was happening there was okay in Switzerland, but the United States would not look favorable on what was happening with the money?
Well, that's a very good point for your audience. People have to understand, in Switzerland, what we did was legal. It was embedded in the Constitution and certainly was able for people to open accounts and never pay tax. The rub came when bankers like myself would travel to the United States where we weren't licensed to market to people here. And I was exposed to a document that was on our intranet, a three-page document, which is on in my book, Lucifer's Banker. And it pretty much contradicted everything we were doing. So this was very, very serious.
You talk about that document, and I'm curious, you're the one that actually kind of acted on it, but there was another gentleman that kind of showed that to you in the first place. Did you ever find out how he discovered this document buried beneath all of those other memos and everything else that was out there?
Well, he was a little bit more active on our intranet. And as you know, corporations will hold you accountable, especially as a director of the bank, of every document that's on there. And you can imagine there's compliance documents, there's products, memorandum, PowerPoints, and so forth. And he just happened to stumble across it, and he brought it to my attention immediately, knowing that I would do something about it, which I, in fact, did.
Bradley, in getting the word out, did you find a receptive audience, or were there challenges along the way?
Well, the problem is this, and as your audience would realize, anyone working in a large corporation generally has all these obstacles and hurdles. And I tried to bring it to the attention of my boss, and he tried to dilute my message. And then I went directly to the head of compliance and the head of legal, and they were silent on the matter. So I had nothing to do but to bring it up to the board of directors of the bank.
Sometimes a whistleblower gets a lot of blowback. What happened with you?
Well, within UBS, it was blowback. It was silence, really. And then I started to defend my colleagues because, really, we were all at risk here, knowing that we had never seen this document, knowing that we were never trained on this document. And the bank was really just trying to protect their backside and throw us and the clients and the shareholders under the bus.
I understand to you the DOJ is a four-letter word, the Department of Justice. I've seen your thoughts about them. Explain how they interacted with you and where things ended up, where you ended up serving some prison time.
Well, actually, I was the only person in the whole financial crisis to go to jail. Let's put it in perspective. I mean, this is absolutely atrocious, and I think what has happened here is the Department of Justice is a political arm. They're not about pursuing justice. They're more about collusion and corruption because we see so many times banks get fined and nobody gets sentenced or prosecuted. So why is the Department of Justice giving preferential treatment to these banks that continue to break the law? And if your audience goes on my website, lucifersbanker.com, under lawsuits, you'll see that there's countless things that are going on, as well as the fines that UBS is paying, billions and billions of dollars, and they just write a check.
Well, we see that a lot of times where there seems to be some sort of thing that went wrong, and there's just a check or a settlement of some sort. So it's just money penalty, but it's sometimes things that caused it originally don't seem to get fixed. Do you find that happening?
Well, see, this is the problem. And again, I think your audience understands this very well, given the fact that if you're going to write a check for, say, $400 or $500 million and claim you're not going to admit or accept responsibility or guilt, I mean, why would you write a check then? So I think we see this time and time again, and I've actually coined the phrase political prostitution, because really what they're doing is just taking money, protecting the banks, and then what they do is they leave the Department of Justice and go into these big law firms that protect the banks they should have prosecuted.
You write in the book at some point where your conscience was kind of catching up to you, and there's a part in the book where you're talking about it feels like you're standing on the edge of a volcano. And then the next couple paragraphs you talk about going to a Formula One race, and there's all this other stuff. Talk about the dichotomy between what's sort of happening internally for you and how your lifestyle is not reflecting that.
Well, I think what you have is you had a paradox, and the paradox was simple. Again, Swiss private banking was endeared in the Constitution. So it was legal to do it there in Switzerland. But as I said, when we were traveling outside, it was a gray area. We were looking for clarity, which the bank wouldn't give us, of course, because it was too lucrative for them to give up this business. So my lifestyle did revolve around exclusive events of Formula One, Wimbledon, classic car shows, wine tastings, and so forth, because what the bank was doing was promoting these events, not only in Switzerland, but around the world, and especially in the United States, to get close to very wealthy people, which, in fact, we did.
So they bring kind of the clients to this, and you're there, and you know that the people you're mingling with more than likely could have some funds that they may want to put in into the Swiss bank. But not only people trying to avoid taxes, there's other sort of nefarious things going on. Talk about how that gets impacted, where the money that gets laundered through there is also, you know, trouble for other folks.
Well, I think if you've seen recently in the news, I mean, Deutsche Bank was just held accountable for laundering billions of dollars for the Russians. I mean, this shouldn't come as a surprise. And the problem is, as you rightly point out, it's not just about tax evasion, which I think everybody agrees we'd like to have lower taxes, but somehow we have to pay for the services we get in return. But what happens is, by not going after UBS aggressively and cutting a deal, you have actually set a terrible precedent and no deterrent. For instance, what happens with human trafficking, drugs, guns, insider trading, extortion, bribery, and terrorist financing? I mean, all of these equate to secrecy and lack of transparency. And the problem with the United States Department of Justice is they're actually they're aiding and abetting this, because they didn't do their job. To the contrary, they let them off the hook.
Bradley, you're at odds with the Department of Justice, the banking industry, and a link toward terrorism. Do you ever fear for your own safety?
No, I don't. And I have a very large group of legal counsel, as well as I certainly have security at certain points. But my story is so compelling for people to understand the complexity of what goes on in the world today. And what I do is I try to keep the message out there and help foreign governments do this, because we have to put an end to this waste, fraud, and corruption.
You did spend, about 30 months in prison? Was that the sentence for you?
That's correct.
And then also after that, the IRS awarded you over $100 million. Was that kind of like a reward, or what was the reason behind that?
Well, Senator Grassley from Iowa has been a champion of whistleblowers, and in 2006 passed a very comprehensive whistleblowing law that made it mandatory to pay whistleblowers. Now, I had come in April of 2005, long before this law even existed, so it wasn't sort of a quid pro quo, but I was awarded under the IRS whistleblowing law, which makes it mandatory to pay whistleblowers 15% to 30% of what the government recovers. Now, I think it was the largest and longest running tax fraud in U.S. history. Nothing comes close.
When did this book come to you? Was it while you were in prison? Was it afterwards? When did you decide, I need to tell this story and I need to get it out there, and then I need to keep talking about the benefit of whistleblowers?
Well, I started doing it once I had my first introductory meetings with the Department of Justice, knowing how utterly incompetent and corrupt these people are. And I said, "This the only way this is going to be told, because they're certainly going to lie and certainly cover up evidence. And I needed to tell the story in a book, as well as on my website, lucifersbanker.com, and lecture on the subject so that people fully understand that the real core problem here is our own government. They're in bed with this bank, and this is very, very serious."
Your book contains a lot of documentation and a lot of things. Obviously, that was what helped your cause at the beginning. When you got that three-page memo or heard, which basically sort of said all the things that you were doing, they were sort of set to have said, here's the memo that said you should not be doing these things, kind of throwing you under the bus as well. What was your immediate reaction after that? Did you have to start collecting everything, or were you a kind of person that already had everything organized and knew that if I just grabbed this one file, I'd pretty much have what I needed?
Well, I'm a very organized and resourceful person, so I kept things in secret files on my own, so that in case something like this did happen, I could always refer back to PowerPoint presentations, memorandum, and documents, of course. So, I mean, this was very, very important. As you know, you can say whatever you want, but when you have the documents to back it up, it's bulletproof.
Right. Of course, the names are the things that people don't find out. We don't really hear about some of the people who are involved with that. Is that another one of those things? It's almost like those kind of lists from prostitutions when they have, here are the people that have seen the, you know, they don't want to embarrass them, or they don't want to, there's a blowback or fallout that could have come out if these people's names got out. Is that what happens?
Well, see, that's exactly it. The government was covering for the very powerful people in government. There's people called PEPs, politically exposed people, and you haven't seen one name come out, but certainly in my book I mentioned some of them, and more will come out, I can guarantee you that. So, I mean, it's really quite amazing that these people break the securities and tax laws for decades, and now all of a sudden we're there protecting them. Why? So you can see that there is a real conflict of interest between the Department of Justice and what the American taxpayer deserves and has the right to know.
What kind of a feedback have you gotten from your book that's been out for a little while now, Lucifer's Banker?
Well, I've got a lot of positive feedback. I've been doing interviews like this with you, Bruce, and I've been doing lectures and interviews. But also, I've been helping foreign governments, the Greek government, the German government, the South Korean government, and so forth, helping them to refine their whistleblowing laws or create them, as well as helping them track down ill-gotten monies by UBS. And you can see now in Europe, there's a French trial where UBS is being held accountable with $1.1 billion in escrow. And a lot of publishers in foreign languages have approached me, and I've been signing book deals for that as well.
Is there a thing that the average citizen can do? Because a lot of times this stuff seems so out there or beyond. It's only, you know, fantasy to us what about a Swiss bank account or how it all works and everything like that. What can regular citizens do to kind of keep watch on stuff like this? Anything?
Well, there's several things. There is a nonprofit called the National Whistleblowing Center. And recently there was a very large tax ruling in the tax court. And what people should do is, well, first is, if they'd like, they can look at my website, lucifersbanker.com, but then call their senator and say, why aren't there public hearings on this matter? Why the people, why aren't we informed about what's going on, rather than the continued silence and secrecy that continues to persist in our government?
Did a lot of this start, the screws start tightening after 9/11? Was there a change in sort of what the government was doing that kind of started to bring this stuff to the surface, or was it just coincidental?
Well, I think I do make a nexus between 9/11 and what was going on in the offshore world. Clearly, the United States government was put into a corner because of the attacks, and terrorist financing became a priority, finally. But the problem, again, was they did not go after the banks in the proper fashion. They cherry-picked banks, and they were more interested in protecting the very wealthy, millionaires and billionaires, rather than getting to the core subject. Quite frankly, what's happened is you get the Patriot Act and you got some other legislative acts, but they didn't solve the problem. And really what Congress should have done is talk to people like me who said, look, I can show you how they're going to avoid this even if you put legislation in place.
What's it about the state of Delaware? You mentioned this, and I saw a speech you were talking about that, and then I see a lot of my bank things go to Delaware or people move to. What's happening in Delaware that's so special that a lot of banks and people want to be there?
Well, you have secrecy there as well. And I think the former Vice President, Joe Biden, I mean, being from there, has done nothing to expose that. To the contrary, he's turned a blind eye. which means you're condoning it. And this is very, very serious, because what you can do there is, in effect, open companies where you really don't have to expose who the beneficial owner is of the company. So why would we allow this to happen in the United States, in Delaware, in Nevada, and several other jurisdictions within the United States? And recently, the European Union has attacked the U.S. and are blaming them to be a tax haven, because we get so many foreigners put their money in real estate, into Delaware, Nevada, into corporations and so forth, where we really don't know what's going on.
Well, the untold story of how I destroyed Swiss bank secrecy, Lucifer's Banker, that's the name of the book. Our guest this morning, Bradley Birkenfeld. We appreciate your time, Bradley, and all you do. And again, if people want to find out more, lucifersbanker.com, right?
That's correct, and I think they'll find it very interesting, and hopefully we can get a Senate hearing and expose this even further.
Thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Thanks.